Jesus went out again beside the lake, and all the crowd was coming to him, and he was teaching them. And as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, "Follow me." And he rose and followed him. And as he reclined at table in his house, many tax collectors and sinners were reclining with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. And the scribes of the Pharisees, when they saw that he was eating with sinners and tax collectors, said to his disciples, "Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?" And when Jesus heard it, he said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners."
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome. Add my welcome to Julia's. My name's Phil. I'm the minister here. A particular welcome to you if you're visiting us for the first time, or we get all sorts of people in from all sorts of backgrounds, investigating the Christian faith, or people who call themselves Christians. Wherever you are on that spectrum, we hope you feel really, really welcome among us. And can I just say, to those of us who are regulars, please do think about who you might want to invite, colleagues who might want to come and engage with the real Jesus. These flyers are for you to take away and to use. Well, can I just point us to our the top of our outline? You'll be able to grab an outline there. And sometimes we begin with just a little bit of a discussion around tables. We're going to do that today. And the discussion is, for 2 minutes, what qualifies a person to be accepted and welcomed on these various platforms or places? So social media, X, formerly known as Twitter, although I think you can drop the formerly known as Twitter now, apparently, but there we go. At work, or even in church. Just a couple of minutes around tables to discuss that, and then we'll come back. Okay, I think we'll draw back together there. Good. Well, our subject over the next 4 weeks is the goodness of Jesus, and therefore of God. And I think this is going to be surprising for all of us. Because by nature, we believe God to be a bully and a tyrant. That's who we think God is by nature. We tend to think that to surrender ourselves to his rule in our lives would be to surrender to the chains of a harsh ruler. But Mark wants to show us in these verses, and in fact in the next 4 weeks, that in fact that could not be further from the truth. In fact, the opposite is true. To come under the rule of Jesus, the Son of God, is to find limitless welcome, joy, and rest forever. And we're going to see that that is in complete contrast to the world. And what we find in the world. The elitist, joyless, and burdensome rule of man and man-made religion. There's a recent article in the Times that announced that Britain has entered the first atheist age, as it's reported that non-belief in God has surged, and for the first time in history, in Britain, atheists outnumber believers in God. What was interesting was the response from a guy called James Marriott, who also writes for the Times, but a different guy, a few days later. And he said this, as an atheist, he said, "I have to confess to some embarrassment about the dawning of the first atheist age. Instead of a second enlightenment," in his words, he said, "we have a plague of secular fools," referring to the bewildering muddle of opinion, online especially. He bemoans the age of unreason. "Instead of a new liberated humanity, we have an anxious generation. instead of a sense of satisfaction with this new secular regime. We have churches reporting that the spiritual hunger in London, especially among young people, is massive at the moment. People are coming in to church, tearing up their atheist secular narrative that they've been taught and saying, it doesn't work. I'm anxious all the time. There must be something more. Well, the good news of the Christian gospel is that there is. And we have been in Mark's gospel, we have seen already the authority of the king in chapter 1, that Jesus, to bring God's everlasting kingdom of peace. And now in this new section of Mark's gospel, chapter 2, verse 13 through to 3, verse 6, we're going to see the goodness of Jesus. We've seen the authority of Jesus. Mark is going to show us the goodness of Jesus. And the first thing we see about his goodness is his limitless and unconditional welcome for spiritual failures, for the broken, for the far from God. And in fact, that is who he's come for. It is the opposite of the elitism we find everywhere we look in the world, even in religion, even sometimes in the church. But God, in Christ, is filling heaven with people who have not lived a good life. It's the message of these verses. Just look down with me at these two connected events. Verse 13. He went out again beside the lake, and all the crowd was coming to him, and he was teaching them. And as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, follow me. And he rose and followed him. Tax collectors were Jewish people, but hated by the Jews, especially the religious Jews, for two reasons. Number one, they were thieves. They stole people's money. They took more than they should have done. Number two, they were traitors, in league with the Roman occupying force. They were the epitome of anti-God. They had no concern for God, his laws, or his people. I just look down at what it says there. These are beautiful words if we understand them in verse 14. As Jesus passed by, he saw him. Do you see that? He saw this tax collector, this sinner, lost, far from God. He saw him and he called him, follow me. And he left everything and followed him. The second episode that Mark puts side by side may have happened straight afterwards or sometime soon after. And that is this dinner party. And either at Levi's house, the tax collector who sort of invited people back, or in fact, possibly at Jesus' house, verse 15, as Jesus reclined at table in his house. Many tax collectors and sinners were reclining with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. That phrase, reclines at table, I mean, no one does that, do they, anymore? I don't really know what it means, but back then you would sort of tend to sort of lie down a bit more. The tables would be quite low, and so you'd be on cushions and reclining. It just means relaxing over dinner. Relaxing over dinner with these tax collectors and sinners. Mark doesn't elaborate on who they were. They were known sinners. Just imagine the scene for a second. It's a scene of friendship, isn't it? The Son of God, sharing food, laughing, drinking wine, chatting with these people. It's a scene of friendship, it's a scene of welcome. for people who had no regard for God and for his laws. They were far from God. And in fact, this was what angered the Pharisees and their scribes in verse 16. The Pharisees and the scribes of the Pharisees, when they saw that he was eating with sinners and tax collectors, said to his disciples, "Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?" It's the friendship. It's the welcome. It's the association. They wouldn't have minded if he was eating with them and the tax collectors and sinners were outside listening in through the window. But it's that sense of he's come for them to associate, to welcome, to be friends. And here then in verse 17 is the conclusion. When Jesus heard it, he said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician or a doctor or a healer, but those who are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners." Now there are two points I think we should dwell on in light of this text. Number one, Christ has come as a healer for sinners. He's come as a doctor, with medicine, as it were, but to heal us from our deepest problem, which is the sickness of sin. We've got Bart's over here, just a couple of meters away, full of doctors. Jesus says, "I am the doctor." Did you know that? Part of his character, part of his office, part of the work of the Son of God. He is the doctor. But he is the doctor who's come down for those with a disease worse than any cancer over in Bart's. Because without a cure, the disease of sin takes us not just to death, but to judgment. And so what we need, therefore, is not just a teacher or an example, but a saviour who can heal us from this worst of all diseases. Jesus has come down from heaven with medicine to heal sinners forever. And I just want to pause on one thing about this, at this point. This means that the Son of God has come to us because we're sinners, not despite the fact that we're sinners. The doctors in Bart's hospital, they don't roam the streets. Have you seen that last time we saw them roaming the streets at lunch break, trying to find city workers out there on their lunch break to ask them if they need help? No, the doctors at Bart's, they come in every morning and they go to be with the sick. And so Christ has come down, as one song puts it, with mercy in his eyes to call people to himself who are sick with sin. And so secondly, what flows from this? What flows from this, I think, is probably the most liberating truth of the gospel. Just think about this. What qualifies us for the kingdom of God? What qualifies us for the welcome of Jesus? What qualifies us to be called by him? Failure. The qualification for being called by Jesus into his kingdom is spiritual and moral failure. It's the kind of failure that means we can't help ourselves and we need a saviour. Just imagine for a second if the world worked like that, right? So there's a bakery near where we live called Dough, which is run by a former Apprentice winner, Karina Lepore. Actually, she was the most successful ever Apprentice contestant, apparently winning 9 out of 10 tasks. Don't know how the business is doing. Doesn't seem to be doing too well at the moment. But anyway, that's a side point. We don't need to get distracted with that. But imagine the apprentice, where what was required to win was failure. To have failed every task so utterly as to be the laughing stock of your fellow contestants and indeed of the watching world. Congratulations, you've won. Imagine if what was required to get into Oxbridge was straight U's, never been to school. What was required to play for Chelsea was no ball skills. Now, some of you may think that's probably is what is required. In every sphere in the world, the qualification for success and welcome is success, right? The qualification for acceptance is success. On social media, as you will have been discussing, to be successful at being attractive. That's the qualification for acceptance. On X, formerly known as Twitter, intelligent, interesting, insightful, wise. At work, the qualification for welcome or acceptance every day at the door is your consistent performance. You will know that. Sometimes even in church, sadly, the qualification for welcome and acceptance is to be gifted and godly. But what is the qualification for acceptance and welcome with God? Simply to be a sinner. You see that? Verse 17. I've come to call sinners. Now this is utterly liberating, is it not? To know that we are welcomed as the moral and spiritual failures that we are. We have not lived a good life. Jesus says, it doesn't matter. I've come down precisely because you are a failure to call you and to heal you. And so it is welcome before change. Not change before welcome. Like everything else, every other religion, actually. Man-made religion. Change before welcome and acceptance. Jesus, welcome before change. Yes, change. He called Levi to follow him. Levi leaves everything and follows him. Jesus will transform us. But it is come as you are. It is welcome before change. He welcomes them round his table as sinners. I came across an advert over in City Thames Link the other day for men's mental health. And it says, it's okay not to be okay. We need posters like that, I think, because really we know that it's not. We know that we would be judged or excluded in the world. But it really is okay not to be okay with God. In fact, it is the not okay, the not good, that Jesus has come to call. Are you a spiritual and moral failure who has failed to love God, failed to love your neighbours, failed to keep his laws, failed to live a good life? Yes. Well, then you are well and truly qualified to be called and welcomed by Jesus into his kingdom. Repent. Come to him. His welcome for sinners is limitless. He will heal you. He will make you his friend. And he will give you a place around the table in heaven with him forever. But this all means, and I just want to push this a little bit further, that there are no limits to Jesus' call and welcome. There are no limits to Jesus' call and welcome, except one. Okay, so if Jesus is the doctor who can heal sin and has come to call sinners, well then there are no moral limits to his compassion. We may find this uncomfortable, even offensive, as those religious leaders did. If we do, it's that we think, it's because we think too highly of ourselves. Now I think there's a good test of this in a little known story. The little-known story of Henry Garek. Henry Garek was an American chaplain to the 10 condemned Nazi war criminals during the Nuremberg trials. Among his parishioners for 6 months were Göring, Hess, von Ribbentrop, Keitel, and other known war criminals. He had about 6 months with them. Regular services, he opened the Bible with them. Not all of them came to faith. Goebbels said, "I'll take my chances." Apparently that was the last thing he said to this man before he was hung. But some did in the last few weeks. The last words of von Ribbentrop. He was asked if he had any last words by the American captain there. He said, "I place all my confidence in the Lamb who made atonement for my sins. May God have mercy on my soul." And then he turned to Garek and said, "I'll see you again." The black hood was pulled over his head and he was gone. Now, this guy, Garek, was a seasoned prison chaplain, not easily duped by false professions. He was convinced that some of these men came to faith. Actually, Garek's son discovered, after his death, discovered a whole drawer that he'd never been shown, full of hate mail sent to Garek from people in America. One said he should have been hanged with the rest of them. Probably many of these people would have called themselves Christians, actually. I wonder what you make of that. Von Ribbentrop and others, responsible for the deaths of thousands, even hundreds of thousands, come to find forgiveness in Christ. Very good modern example to test whether we've accepted this about Jesus and about God. Just as he called Levi from the tax booth, so he called von Ribbentrop. He has come for sinners, and there are no limits to his mercy. He's come to call them, he's come to call us. We may not be von Ribbentrop, but to a law-keeping Pharisee from the first century, if we're Gentiles, which I take it is most of us in this room, we're every bit as far from God as that tax collector by nature. At least the tax collector was Jewish. Imagine what they thought of Gentiles. We have not kept God's laws. Most of us are not even Jewish. The point Jesus is making is that there are no limits to his compassion. There are no socio-economic limits. Sometimes suggested that Christ has a special concern for those who are materially poor. But there is no evidence for this in his life or in the Gospels or in the New Testament. Tax collectors were not poor or homeless. They were far from God. Neither would they have been friendless within their circles. Jesus does not say that he's come to call the materially poor, but sinners, the far, rich and poor, and everything in between. There is no social or economic bias to the compassion of Jesus. And that is really important for us to see in the city. He is just as much at work calling lost city workers to follow him as he is among the communities of London, the homeless communities of London and everything in between. There are no limits to those who he would heal. Except one. We may disqualify ourselves by persisting in refusing to accept that we need him. Just look down again at verse 17. "I came not to call the righteous." I think there is a searching bite to those words. There are those who, like the scribes and the Pharisees here, having heard from and seen Jesus, then persist in considering themselves to be righteous. Well, if that is you, then he has not come for you because you will not come to him. What then for us? Well, if we can hear what Jesus is saying here, let's pray that we would see the gentleness and goodness of God in Christ, the great doctor who calls sinners to come to him, who heals them, and then calls us to follow him into his kingdom. Let's pray. So, Father, we do pray that we would see something more of the gentleness and goodness of your character in Jesus Christ. Thank you that he is the great doctor who heals us from sin, who welcomes us, who accepts us as we are, and then who calls us to follow him into his kingdom. Thank you that your compassion is wide to all people. And we do pray, Father, that you would continue to call sinners to follow Jesus from the city and from our workplaces. And we ask it in his name. Amen.